so hard living with the things you do to me.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. We head to St. Louis. We're seven-time Tennessee Sportscaster of the Year. Pete Weber is standing by. He is our on-site reporter for the All-Star Game. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting in front of the fire here at the Hilton in downtown St. Louis and getting some incredible stories from Terry Crisp and his former teammate Bob Plager, talking about the good old days and some road trips that you would never believe.
Terry telling stories. A fireside chat with Terry Crisp. People would pay a lot of money for that.
Yep. Yes, they would.
Well, and Pete, as you know, maybe you can help with this for people that have not met Bobby Plager, who might know Crispy. You put those two guys together, it's unbelievable.
Wind them up and let them go?
Because Bobby Plager would be the St. Louis. Would you call him maybe the St. Louis version of Terry Crisp, right? Just the
absolutely.
I mean, tremendous storyteller. He will have you just howling. And of course, the two intersect as they were teammates one time.
And they're talking about the game 7 of the playoff series the first year with the Blues and the Philadelphia Flyers, which really helped to launch the Broad Street Bullies, because Flyers founding owner Ed Snyder said, "We're never going to get beat up like that again." So they got armed and very dangerous in Philadelphia. But these guys were the ones who precipitated all of that.
Tell us what the mood is like in that market, considering their season didn't end till the middle of June, and what they accomplished. And this is just kind of carryover for them. Man, it's been quite a year, right? I know we started 2020, but 2019 was quite a ride for the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, and really, while they've been awarded the cup and all that, the ride has not stopped. They are still playing extraordinarily well. Craig Berube, who took over in November a year ago, has them still playing extraordinarily well. Jordan Binnington has not, if he was to have been expected to fall back to earth, has not fallen back to earth. He is still working at the apogee of his abilities.
No doubt about it. No cup hangover for the Blues, at least to this point. Number one team in the Western Conference.
That's right.
So we were trying to figure out what is the activity. We've got the coverage on. We saw Shea Weber talk to the media. We saw Roman Josi talk to the media. Yep. We know Shea Weber's going to be in the hardest shot. Which activity is the captain going to be in? We're trying to figure that out.
I'm not certain yet. They're still trying to ascertain that, because they really jazzed up the skills competition tonight. They're going to have shots coming out of the audience onto the ice.
Really?
That's just among the things that we're looking forward to here this evening. And then there's a number of youngsters who represent the various NHL clubs coming in, and they will be taking part in a competition as well. And there's even great players like Gary Unger here in the lobby right now, willing to talk with us. So this has just been like hockey heaven.
We know in Nashville, Pete, when it came to our fine city, that it was unveiling the new system, and it got glowing reviews and thumbs up, and it looked better. Do you still like the All-Star setup?
Yes, I do. I think that's the best way to do it right now. I think it's the closest thing that we have to baseball's All-Star game, which is still something very special, at least in my mind. And the Home Run Derby is no small part of all of that. But I'll tell you what was special last night. Do you realize some Jack Adams Awards ballots are already going in to nominate Terry Crisp as Coach of the Year for what he did last night in the alumni game?
Well, you have to tell us, Pete. What did he do?
He coached a winning side. They won 10-6 in that game last night. Now, there was one great reason he's going to be Coach of the Year. He got an 80-year-old player to score a goal. He got Red Berenson to score a goal last night. Now, Red is the guy who had that 6-goal game against Philadelphia. And if you listen to any of the replays, Ed Van Impe is the GOAT on most of them. Because Ed Van Impe, who, you know, all of us remember, he had played part of his career here with St. Louis, but then he's in Philadelphia. And you'll hear the call from the great Dan Kelly. And for virtually each of the 6 goals, around Van Impe. And he moves in, he shoots and scores. So that was absolutely hilarious.
What was the other key coaching move besides getting Red Berenson to play at his best? Any other key moves that were highlights?
Yeah, he put Gary Unger on the same line with Red Berenson. Curious move. Those guys were traded for each other here years ago, and they played together on the Blues for a little bit when Red came back.
Did he walk Did he walk on the bench?
He did not walk the boards,
the boards
last night. I think Bob Plager told him not to try to walk on the boards.
Pete, you know what's interesting about the format of this that we saw for the first time?
Excuse me, Bobby said they couldn't do that because they didn't have the insurance.
You do. These are things you have to think about for sure. Pete, what are the things that is compelling about the format that we saw unveiled in Nashville with this 3-on-3 and it's every division playing is you have some pretty big rivals playing on the same team for the weekend. Yes. Remember Patrick Kane got booed by all the Nashville fans and there was
he still talks to me about that.
And there was a lot of talk here recently, and I'm trying to think of the two teams, but the Battle of Alberta, right? The Oilers
right.
and the Flames, where the question was asked, hey, you know, if you're on the same line with Tkachuk, what would you do?
So, skate off the ice. That was Dreisaitl who said that, yeah.
Right, so I wonder how that works sometimes when these guys all get together. I guess they put it all aside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do. That's not like in the old days in baseball. You know, there was no way Bob Gibson would have been able to do that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
No way whatsoever.
But it looks like this, the 3-on-3, for, you know, with all the things they've tried, it does look like it's going to stick. You know, I don't hear anything otherwise. Do you?
I think it's going to stick, at least for now. I mean, we had, you know, North America versus the world for a while. We had just East versus West. Way back, my first memory is the Stanley Cup champion against the All-Stars for the rest of the league. And that's when, and it started the year. That was before you had played a regular season game.
Wow, that'd be something to go back to that.
Would it ever. Be a little bit more difficult, though, when you have a Stanley Cup champion and beginning next year, 31 other teams.
Right.
You'd have to have tiered benches like the Stampede Corral in Calgary.
Talking to Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, he's in St. Louis. And I know things are fun there because we actually flew through there last week on the way to Kansas City, had to drive from St. Louis to Kansas City, and they had all the stuff up. Yeah, the weather did not to cooperate with us. But I saw all the stuff that they have hanging up there, and so I know the city is enjoying it. But how about next year, the Florida Panthers being the host of the All-Star Game?
Yeah, now we were at one there before. As a matter of fact, that's where I first saw Sheryl Crow perform in person. It was on a stage outside the building in Sunrise. I think that was 2003, and the game was dominated by Danny Heatley, and that was the first time they had a shootout to decide a game, and Danny Heatley got the winner in the shootout.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I know we had you on to talk All-Star, but I can't let you get out of here without asking you about the Baseball Hall of Fame. What'd you think about the announcement this week?
I'm so ecstatic about Larry Walker going in, and I know a good friend of mine at home who is now recuperating from rotator cuff surgery, John Keane from Ajax Turner, huge baseball fan. He is exulting in that news as well.
Pete, you actually told a story, too, about your connection with Felipe Alou. And when you first learned who Larry Walker was.
Yeah, Larry Walker had a year out, 1985. He was recuperating from knee surgery, very serious and intricate knee surgery. And there was a guy at Busch Stadium, Indianapolis, hitting off a tee. And I got to say, his swing pretty much impressed me, not that I'm a great baseball scout. So I go to Felipe Alou, who was managing the Indianapolis Indians at the time. I said, who's that guy? I said, we're not going to see him in the game or anything. He goes, no, he's out for about a year. He's just here rehabbing. He goes, his name is Larry Walker. I think he's going to be pretty good. Felipe Alou was not only an outstanding manager, but a great judge of talent and had been a scout for a long time for the Expos.
And, of course, that 1994 Expos team, which is considered the team that was the best Expos team ever that got shortchanged of having a chance to play in the postseason, one of the worst parts about the strike.
Yep.
He was the manager, and Larry Walker was just becoming a star.
Yep, and he had his son Moises on that team too, and now another one of his sons just being named manager of the Mets.
Yeah.
How about that?
Very, very cool. Are you going to investigate in your baseball circles to figure out who didn't vote for Jeter?
I will do everything I can. Now, I have to grant you, and some other of my friends have posted as well, hey, Willie Mays was far from being unanimous, so there are a lot of idiots in this world.
It's true. See, I think Mariano Rivera paid somebody off so he could still be the only one and hold that over his teammate.
I think it was the composer of Enter Sandman.
It does make you wonder, though, like the Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio. Pick out the best of the best. Yeah. And none of those guys were unanimous?
No.
So what was going on?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Willie.
Well, it was just a mindset. It's the whole first ballot thing.
Yeah, thank God we didn't have a voting college there, the Electoral College, messing things up.
The whole thing about first ballot, just I don't understand. What's the whole some guy, you know, some voters like nobody should be in for. What is the whole hang up on that? If you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. That's
exactly. So if you wait one more year, does that make you less of a Hall of Famer?
Right. Exactly.
Does that make the electorate stupid?
Yeah. You know what we learned on the show so far today? We learned that Alyssa Milano liked former Florida Marlins pitchers. That's what we've learned today on the show.
No, pitcher. So. Yeah. Pitcher.
Well, but we think there may
be. No, that's incorrect.
Well,
are you sure
Beckett? Well, there's a former hockey player more than that. It was Wayne McMain, who was here for the alumni game.
How was that, by the way?
We only have documentation on one Florida Marlins pitcher, Carl Pavano. Speaking of the Expos.
Yeah. But that is absolutely true. And the alumni game last night is too bad it wasn't totally televised. They didn't have the coaches mic'd up because that would have been fantastic.
Oh, man, that would have been. Pete, enjoy St. Louis this weekend. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see you when you get back.
It already has been, and looking forward to Monday night with the Leafs in town. We know that's a special traveling road show, too.
No doubt about it. Pete Weber, the voice of the Predators, and, of course, him and Hal Gill. You can hear that all the games, them in the booth, right here on 102.5 The Game. We will come back and kick off the final hour with Pick 6. Yes, we decided on air there'll be Pick 6. That's coming up next.